This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is Sky Blues Extra.
Welcome to the Sky Blues Extra match day preview pod with me, David, Dean and Ross. As always, the pod is sponsored by the Sky Blue Tavern and Dillon's Brewery, the home of the best pre and post match day experience. Chaps, it's the first in a new weekly episode that we will launch every Thursday, where we'll be able to preview the upcoming fixture, talk about opposition insight, opposing fan views we're going to get, from some of the biggest podcast providers in the championship. So great to have that. And just, yeah, a bit nearer to the week, I guess. So a bit easier to talk about the upcoming fixture.
To whet the appetite.
Well, that's
ahead
it.
Of the wet game. Appetite. Wet the whistle, as they say.
Exactly. This weekend, we take on the Mackhams, obviously. It's become a bit of a derby match, hasn't it? And in recent years, really.
Did you hear Josh Eccles after the game? He was buzzing for this game. He knows the score. He knows.
Yeah, well, it's weird. I don't know how. Obviously, we know the reasons why and behind it, but it seems in recent years, it seemed to have like gone up a bit more, Ross, right? The rivalry between us and Sunderland. It
Ross,
seems to have
Ross
gone up.
Loves
a few
the scrap notches. As well. Loves the scrap.
Legion, I am. No, I'm joking. Yeah, I think if I remember rightly, I've actually got a mate from school who's a Sunderland fan. I remember at that game, his dad's a cook, is a chef in the Rico. So I was in the box. It was the first time that we played them since we were, but remember when I think we were in League One and Clark Harris scored for us. So we had Connor Chaplin, etc., playing for us back then in them days. And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they do something to the Jimmy Hill statue when they come?
They booed it. Yeah, one guy
I remember apparently one guy.
They pointed some fingers as well.
I heard that one guy pissed on it as well as something like that. Or someone tried to like basically wee on the statue or did something mental, which is what like started the whole like rivalry again of it. And then obviously we played them later in that season.
I think they put a Sunderland like scarf on it as well.
They did loads of they started going mad about it, didn't they? And basically like completely re-bringing it up. And I think a lot of Cov fans are like, what the hell is going on? And then there's probably some commercial after the game with fans and stuff like that. And then later on that season was when we beat them 5-4, wasn't it? And then that made it even more of a rivalry with the famous 5-4 game that we had against them. So, yeah, I think that season in League One just kind of relit a fire that now we both just hate each other. We're completely opposite ends of the maps, but for some reason we've got this rivalry that people are like, why do those two hate each other? But, yeah, whenever I see them, I said it's I put it down in the preview that you read out at the tavern. It was one of the home games I was looking forward to because for some reason, I just think some of their fans are so deluded and I just love putting one over on them and I can't wait to do it again on Saturday.
I love this game because it just makes everything better. It just feels the rivalry makes the game better. And we've always performed in those intense battle arenas and You know, if they want to come and make it like a real hot, hostile atmosphere, you know, bring it on, because that's what we seem to love and we perform it. So
be well up for it as well.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a 12:30 kickoff, because there was a lot of stuff floating around about it being on like different TVs. But I found it's a 3:00 kickoff, which makes it even better, because we all know a 3 p.m. kickoff is like the one for atmosphere. So that
I'm quite surprised by that, to be honest.
I thought it was going to be moved. I thought when I heard it was on some TV channels, I thought it would definitely be moved to an early kickoff, but it's a 3 p.m. kickoff. So the fact we've got them at a 3:00 actually makes it even better. But I am looking forward to it. And yeah, for some reason we have a rivalry with them. But yeah, like Dean said, I look forward to playing them just so we can do one over on them. It's brilliant when we beat them, isn't it?
And I'll be in the Czech Republic, so I'll have to try and find one of those dodgy Czech Republic TV stations you've been talking about there.
But last season, chaps, we played them on the opening day, right? Which was a draw. I think many felt we probably should have done better away from home, or deserved more. And then in February, the return fixture at the CBS, we ran out 2-1 winners. Alan and Jokeres scored. And I think they scored theirs right on the 90th minute or something like that, didn't they? But we were already out of sight by then. They've been given an allocation of 3,000. As much as Sunderland fans have booed and hissed on Twitter by saying they're going to boycott it, I'm pretty sure at even £37 a ticket, they're still going to make the 400-mile round
trip. They've sold out.
Yeah, have they already now sold out?
They have sold them. So, like, and also, they can't moan. They charged Ipswich £32 a week ago. That's only £5 less, you know?
Yeah.
Don't shout about 20's plenty and then charge £12 more than you. More yourself.
Yeah, they're just a picnic club, aren't they? I hate to be this guy that does it, but they really are. It's like when they put away fans above a disabled section, and then when stuff gets thrown down, it's like, well, you're out of order. And it's like, well, hang on a second, you put
what
away
do you expect
right above a disabled area when you used to have them at the opposite end of the ground, completely out of the way. They are just a picnic club. They are a big club. They do get a big fan base, don't they?
They do, yeah. Which is why it makes for such a great atmosphere. You have to commend them for that, right?
I'll never knock them on that, but their home support is rubbish. It is silent whenever I've been there. That's why I don't really like the away day, because it's not as good as what it should be for the amount of fans they have. And they are just a picnic club with everything. There's always a scene or something about it that's an issue. It's like, oh, tickets are too much, or, well, you're only because of Jimmy Hill, or blah, blah, you won 5-4 because my
oh, God, he's off. He's off.
My
Jesus.
My man pulled my leg. Yeah, they're just one of them annoying teams.
Raining back.
I feel like Alan Partridge when you're like thinking, when do you cut? When do you cut the guest off?
Yeah.
And mute.
Yeah, mute me.
Yeah, lots of fans, not lots of brain cells up there, I'm afraid. So,
it does make for a really charged fixture, though, and it will make for another great game on this one.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Do we know much about Sunderland? Obviously, weekend just gone. They beat Rotherham. They won. Did they win?
Yeah, they beat Rotherham. Yeah, first
Rotherham,
one of the season.
Sorry,
yeah.
Had a lapse in signals there.
You had some of those Sunderland brain cells going on.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm sure you've been trying to unearth some nuggets this week, Dean, by doing some research on Sunderland.
Yeah, they're definitely a team I've had my eye on from the start of the season, mainly to the fact that the bookies had them like fourth or fifth favourites to get promoted. And I just can't see it with the side they've got. I mean, Ross Stewart is still out. And he's a huge loss. Great for us, but not great for Sunderland. The only good thing for them is that potentially he won't get sold during this window, because you could see a few Premier League clubs start sniffing for his services. But he won't be participating in this fixture. And as I said, they got their first win of the weekend, 2 goals from Joe Bellingham, which is... you know, they're pinning their hopes on him a little bit. Is he 18 now, or is he still 17?
Young lad, yeah.
I think he's 17, isn't
he? Yeah, so he scored two. Both Bellingham's got 2 goals at the weekend. Mad away
into
from
media frenzy.
Yeah, away from this fixture, by the way, Jude Bellingham is now only 1 goal away from matching Eden Hazard's total La Liga record, which is just bonkers to think about. With only playing 2 games, which is wild. But yeah, in regards to Sunderland, you know, they've got a very, very young side. And, you know, Tony Mowbray seems to like to like youthfulness in his teams. And, you know, they didn't have a start of the season off well, 3 losses in a row before Saturday, heading out of the League Cup as well in that time. You know, they're an intriguing side, Dave. You know, they like to play football, especially with, you know, without Ross Stewart, they have to. They've only got Bradley Dack playing up front at the moment, which, you know, he isn't a target man. He's not really a marksman either. He's not going to be a guy who holds the ball up. So it's going to be interesting to see the way both sides want to play football. So it's going to be interesting to see how that sort of shapes up. But the two, you know, where I'm sort of looking at where this game could be won, I think it's the middle of the park. If we can control that middle of the park versus Neil and Ekwa, which, you know, 20 and 21 years old, in the middle of the park, yeah, up against some like Sheaf, Eccles, Palmer, I think that's where we can win this game. If we can control that, I think we'll get real positivity. So yeah, really, really looking forward to it. And yeah, it should be an exciting game.
Ross, what about yourself? Obviously, probably watched a little bit of Sunderland in the highlights and stuff this season. But how do you see Coventry winning this one? Where do you think, who do you think holds the key?
I think, I've got a mate who's a Sunderland fan, and he says that he's not happy with their business really at all. Obviously, they've lost a few loan players. I think from looking at their team, I think we're really, email time again, I think we're really going to cause them problems with Hadji Wright up front. If you've got Luke O'Nine and Dan Ballard as your back two, I think Hadji Wright, if you get him in behind them, he's going to have a field day. I mean, Luke O'Nine, as we all know, is not a centre back. Like, he is not a centre half at this level. And with players like Godden, who O'Nine might be faster than, as an example, but is he as clever or?
So you need to wind him up big time. Yeah, he is a hothead.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to bet, put Luke O'Nine to be booked at this game, definitely stick £10 on that, because it's probably more than likely going to happen. But yeah, I just think their back four
are available.
I say, and this is not a gambling podcast. Do not take advice from us at any point.
And they don't.
There'll be a few. Yeah. And if you've got any invoices, send them to Ross Spence, not Scrubby's Extra.
But yeah, no, just looking at their back four, if that was my back four, it would not breed me any form of confidence. I think the areas that they can hurt us is obviously out wide. They have got good players. They've got Jack Clark, Patrick Roberts. They've got Lyndon Gooch on the bench. They've got some nice, real attacking talent. Obviously, Bradley Dack's a good player if he stays fit. But again, like Dean said, the middle of the park, two young players that aren't really going to be, they're not very established players at this level, and a very like inconsistent back four. So I think they could hurt us if we get stretched or we give, say, a sloppy pass away, for example. But if we just play our game and how we have been, especially like we did against Borough, and we're a bit more clean, and we've got, say, Palmer to come back, and obviously Vanny Vak's okay, and we start with that, I think we've got we'll cause them way more headaches than they will us. So I fully expect it to be, again, the middle of the park. The wing backs will be a good duel against their full backs, and obviously the wingers that they play, and then obviously up front with Hadji Wright, Sims, whoever it may be, I think will cause them a bundle of problems in terms of their back two. I think they're not going to have a nice day against our strikers at all.
I think De Silva versus Troy Hume is going to be really
going to be a nice battle.
I think you mentioned Jack Clark. I think he's their key man. I'd be very surprised if he's still at Sunderland, to be honest. There's teams crying out for a left-sided player.
They've got Pritchard on the bench, haven't they? And apparently he can get his way out as well, from what I was reading the other day. So that's another player that's good at this level who could be going. So
I think Van Avac's got to be, you know, aware of what Jack Clark does, which is the cut inside and let fly.
I think Jack, the thing is with Van Avac, he's actually quite good defensively. It's not been that area that I've actually been critiquing of him so far. It's more going forward.
Like, I think it's his positioning, though. You've got to be way more aware of someone who can get on you and get inside
and
of you.
This game, they haven't got strong wing backs or full backs. So I would like him to really go at them and use his pace and his skill that he's got. Like, I watched that video earlier on. I tweeted it in the unseen bits in training, and he whipped a free kick in the top corner. I just thought, God, you're a right wing back. Like, have some confidence about you. If you can do that in training, then in the game, you should definitely be able to be taking on players and
taking corners, maybe. Josh, yeah, Eccles, see you later.
maybe even put him on corners at this rate. But hopefully, if Palmer's back, we'll have Palmer in there to take them again Saturday. But yeah, I think we'll cause them a lot of problems. I think they can cause us, or any team can, but I think we've got more problems for them than they have for us. So,
and they're still back to be, you know, get promotion ahead of us, by the way, in the bookies. So
I'd say let it commence.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We actually were lucky enough to catch up with What the Fulk podcast, Sunderland podcast, and, you know, we're going to get opposing views.
So my name's Graham. I'm from the What the Fulk podcast, and I've been asked to answer a couple of questions, regarding the game at the weekend. So first question that comes up, summer transfer business, am I happy at who came in? At the time of speaking, it is 11:27 on the 21st of August, and no. But there's a few caveats to that. So first and foremost, let's look at who we sort of brought in. I think probably the one that most people can see is Job, obviously brother of Jude. He scored twice at the weekend, 17-year-old. I think the reported fee was about $3 million. I have a feeling that would be performance-related as well. But he's been probably the pick of the bunch. He's looked really impressive. He does not look 17 in any way, shape, size, or form. And whilst he's probably not going to be as good as Jude is, I think we're kind of comfortable with that. He was really, really good on Saturday. Scored 2 goals. Excellent on the opening day, even though we got beat. Not the best against Preston, but I think these things are going to happen. Like, he's 17 and, you know, you can't expect him to be brilliant every game. But he looks like the standout. Outside of that, you know, Sunderland have a model, and the model that Sunderland have is that we sign young players, young hungry players under the age of, well, at the minute we normally say under 24, but most of the ones we brought in have been under the age of 21, and we build them and we mould them and so on and so forth. It's a great model in principle, and there's a lot of these signings that have worked. I think Jack Clark's probably the prime example from last season, but unfortunately, we've been left with a little bit of a lack of experience, shall we say. We brought in Bradley Dack, who I think is 28, 29. Outside of that, they've all been young boys. And for the third transfer window running, we've been left without a striker. Ross Stewart's he's had 2 big injuries and effectively been out for almost a year now, give or take a couple of months here or there. He's obviously our key striker. We had Ellis Sims, who I'm sure you'll be aware of these days. Last season, he was recalled in January. Around the same time that Ross Stewart got his second big injury, and all that we've brought in is a big centre forward from Portugal, from Benfica, called Hamia, and he looks as raw as you can expect, 19-year-old, and we definitely need more up there. But the good news is, after the match on Saturday, Tony felt that there was going to be more coming in, and he seemed a lot more confident. So hopefully come Saturday I can answer that question and say yes, relatively happy with what we've brought in. But I think it's probably hard to judge at the moment until we've seen the full season. But we need more experience. We need a defensive midfielder as well, because Corey Evans has been out for about 6 to 8 months, and we definitely need a striker. But I'm on the fence at the moment. I would say veering towards unhappy with the transfer window, but that's just because I don't think we've got the positions we needed, but that may change. the start of the season, the second question asking me, you know, what I make of the start of the season has been a really weird one because we haven't really played badly. We lost 2-1 against Ipswich. We dominated possession, probably had the better chances than that. We lost 2-1 against Preston, and I would say the same. And then on Saturday, we beat Rotherham 2-1, and I'd say exactly the same. But I think it comes down to the fact that we're a little bit naive and we were lacking something up front in those two games. Probably looked like we were lacking a little bit up front on Saturday as well. Could have potentially had more goals. And without repeating myself, that goes back to what I felt about the transfer window. So I have an ambition that, you know, we could get in and around the playoffs. You'll understand that as Coventry fans, you wouldn't want to go from finishing fifth to then not being in the playoffs. But I think it's going to be a bit of a tough old season unless we got what we need. But the first three games, we've been okay, but you can quite obviously see what we're missing, and hopefully that'll change come the end of the transfer window. I think if you're looking at the last match against Rotherham, important win. We needed to win that. I don't think Rotherham are any great shakes, to be completely honest with you. I think they'll probably be bottom five, but you can only beat what's put in front of you. And after losing the first two games, despite it being decent performances, we needed to win. We played without a striker again. We started with Bradley Dack in the false nine, but we changed that to Job, and Job scored two goals, which was a testament to him, you know what I mean? When you look at the kid being 17, playing in a position he's not used to, he was phenomenal. But I think we'll have a striker in by Saturday, just to kind of reiterate my point again. I think it's needed, but a massively needed win, 3 points, because we've got yourselves away, which is always a tough game, and then we've got Southampton at home, which is also a tough game. But if we hadn't won on Saturday, that could have been a bit of a worry with those next two games coming up. But all in all, outside of the first 20 minutes, really good, you know, really, really happy. There's no injuries that we've got from that, as far as I'm aware. Moving Bellingham up front instead of Bradley Dack definitely seemed to work, and ultimately the result is the most important thing. Played no better, no worse than we did against Ipswich or Preston, but won the game, so you're far happier. In terms of the game against Coventry, you've asked me how I expect us to line up. It's probably quite difficult at the moment because I think we will have a striker in the door come the game on Saturday. So I think naturally they go straight up front because we haven't really got a striker. We have Hamir, who's 19, but he's raw as they come. And I don't think Tony Mowbray 100% wants to just throw him into the championship and play games week in, week out. I don't think it's necessarily fair. We've been linked to Jay Stansfield from Fulham on loan. He came to Exeter last year, and I think he got 9 goals, 8 assists or something like that in 30-ish games, and not all of those were starts. So maybe we'll see him up front if he's signed, or whoever we do sign, I think we'll see them up front. The goalkeeper picks himself in terms of Anthony Patterson will be in goal. Your back four will remain exactly the same unless there's any injuries over the coming days. That'll be Trey Hume at right back. You'll have Dennis Sirkin, who I'm a big fan of, at left back. And then you'll have Dan Ballard and Luke O'Neill at centre half. Your midfield will probably look like Pierre Ekwa, Dan Neal. I'd assume Bradley Dack will go into the 10, or Bellingham will go into the 10, and then you'll have the striker that we bring in, who Tony Mowbray seems very confident that we're going to get in up front, and then your wings will be Jack Clark. I said there was no injuries before. There was a little bit of a doubt over Patrick Roberts, actually, which would be a big, big miss because he hobbled off, but we don't know the extent of his injury just yet. We are hoping it's not a big injury because he's a hugely important player for us. I think he's probably the most skilled player in the league, and I know every club is every fan of every club is biased, but I mean Patrick Roberts' ability with the ball at his feet is outstanding, and he was unbelievable with Diallo last season, so he's obviously a big player for us, and he would be a huge miss if he's not playing. We'll have to wait and see what the extent of his injury is, and I'm hoping it's not too bad. It didn't look too bad on Saturday, but you never know. I think it was maybe his hamstring and potentially an issue with his toe, so we'll just have to wait and see. In terms of players to watch out for, if Roberts plays, I've got to say Patrick Roberts 100% because, in my opinion, he's our most creative player. But you look at the goal contributions that Jack Clark brought last year. I think he scored against yourselves on the opening day of the season and then had another 23 goal contributions on top of that. And I think 10 of them were goals, or 11 of them were goals, and then the assists on top. So Jack Clark on form is really good, borderline unplayable. When he's not great, he can be frustrating, but I think that's kind of what happens with young players and certainly with wingers. But outside of that, you've got to say Joe Bellingham, 2 goals on Saturday. and a hugely impressive performance, and looks every inch a player that, you know, has been worth a couple of million pounds at the age of just 17. So I'd keep an eye on him. He's huge for his age. Very similar to his brother in terms of his stature, and obviously got a lot of talent. But I'd pick Roberts, Jack Clark, and then Joe Bellingham, and then, you know, whichever strike we bring in, the striker's always someone to watch. In terms of score prediction, I think Coventry was a really tough game. I know you've lost Jokeres, who I thought was the best striker in the league last year, and I know you've lost Gustavo Hamer, who's obviously a great player, but I think, you know, Robins and Coventry have just recycled over the years when they've lost a player, brought in someone who can fill in that role. And I think I watched it against Middlesbrough, and whilst it wasn't a straightforward 3-0, it was 3-0, and you looked impressive. I think you've got a cohesive unit and a collective spirit within that dressing room, which is obviously fostered by Mark Robins, and I think it's difficult. Would I snap your hands off for a draw? Absolutely. Am I going to back Sunderland to win? Absolutely not. Will Ellis Sims score against us? Of course he will. Do I think we're capable of pulling it back, though? Yes, I do. Would you a bit of a result against yourselves? So I'll take an entertaining 2-2 draw with Ellis Sims getting one of the goals for yourselves. And whoever our new striker may be, I'll say they will also get a goal. But 2-2, and I'd be more than happy and more than comfortable with that. But thanks very much.
From the podcast What the Fork, and we appreciate that. Really grateful for them jumping on to give us their thoughts. That takes us nicely on to team lineups, Dean, about how we think we're going to deal with the threat of Sunderland on the match day this Saturday at the CBS. Who do you see line up for this one?
I don't see many differences other than Palmer coming in, to be honest, as long as he's fit. And if Van Avac is still injured, I think it's a toe injury. He should be over it in the next couple of days, we'd like to hope. Then maybe Eccles will be pushed into that right wing back spot, and Kelly will come into the middle of the park. It's not ideal, but, you know, that's the only way. I don't trust Sakamoto as a right wing back, especially against Jack Clark. It just wouldn't be the way to go forward. And it's going to cause us a hell of a lot of headaches. So, yeah, the only change I would potentially like to see is Palmer in for Sakamoto, because I think Sakamoto off the bench is a really good option to change a game as well.
Yeah, agree with that, Ross.
Yeah, I think the only change will be Palmer, to be honest. I mean, he could play Sims, but, you know, it's his old club. He might think of starting him and then maybe doing the old Sakamoto and right off the bench again. He won't drop Godden, as we know, because he's scoring at the moment. Obviously, he knows his division. I think Palmer's the obvious one and Sakamoto to go to the bench, but he could, knowing Robin's change, and maybe throw Sims back in there for Wright. But I would like to see Wright start and get a run of games. That obviously is our marquee signing, and he's not done anything wrong. He's caused problems in every game he's played in, hasn't he? So I think the only two changes could be that, but one of them's not more of a guarantee than, say, Palmer is. So yeah, Palmer would probably be the only one I'd say.
I also think bringing Sims off the bench were a point to prove, both for us and against Sunderland. That's quite tantalising as well. So,
I think it's more of a worry for them, isn't it, if he's on the bench rather than him actually playing? Because imagine if it's like 70 minutes to go, it's 1-1, and they're like, oh God, they've just bought on Sims now. Yeah.
That will worry them, because there's a lot of players in that team who played with Sims last year. So, you know, they'll be aware of his threats. But, you know,
he'll be fresh.
Yeah, that could be an advantage to us. So.
Absolutely. Okay, so score predictions. Going to start with you, Ross. How do you see this one playing out?
I've thought about this all week. And I was going to go 3-1, but I fancy us for a clean sheet again. I'm going to go 2-0.
Dean?
Yeah, I'm going to match that. Yeah, I just think defensively we're looking solid, and we have options there if we need to change it. So, yeah, I'm quietly confident about this one. So looking forward to watching a 2-0 victory to the Sky Blues on a dodgy channel somewhere in the middle of Europe.
Great. And thanks for joining, chaps. Appreciate you jumping on to this first preview pod. And, you know, listeners at home, do use the hashtag SBE podcast if you've got some feedback on this new format, if you like it, what you'd like to see, what else, anything new, all positive, we hope. And obviously we thank Dylan's and the Sky Blue Tavern again for their continued support in sponsoring our podcast. And let's hope that we get all 3 points on Saturday.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.